good morning, good afternoon, and good night. You know, I'm liking the feedback. Like, this feedback that I'm getting for these podcasts is really positive, and I would love to continue to get this feedback. The support is very nice, and I just enjoy it a lot. I do have some good news. I was informed today, earlier. No, it was yesterday, actually. I made a mistake in my last podcast. Ruby Bridges is not dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ruby Bridges is not dead. Praise the Lord. But what I wanted to get into this podcast is the deconstruction of the Black community systematically. And no, I'm not talking about systemic racism. No. I'm talking about literally the deconstruction of our community, which systemic racism explains, but that's more of an explanation on oppression and how we can't succeed in the American society. It doesn't really teach us how they destroy us or how they destroyed us in society. So to start with that, we start with the pillar of the Black community. You know, the pillar of the Black community is the Black man. Now, you may ask why it's not the Black woman, why it's not the Black children, and why it's the Black man. And I will explain to you. From the beginning of our time, I mean, the Black man has had the most power. I mean, if you start even in Africa, the Black man has had the most power. And that's just how it's been. Even coming here, the Black man has always had the say in the household. You know, back in the early days, you know, when we got our freedom, Black men and women would get married, and the Black woman would submit to the Black man. Now, it wasn't like, oh, submission as in, you know, you take control of me. It was, no. There was an agreement. There was an agreement in between the submission, you know. If you provide and you do your job as a man, you know, the man of the house, you provide for the kids, you provide for the family, I submit to you, you know. It wasn't like she was being forced or anything like that, and that's how it is. So this system that was started by white men to take this apart, and you'll see it even nowadays, and you can think about or look at the effect, which most people don't understand because you're not told this, you're not taught this, you have to learn it by yourself. And the way I learned this is, you know, family members. My family is pretty young. My great-great-grandmother is still alive. She's about 97, 96. And, I mean, her parents were slaves. Like, so she knows a lot. I know a lot. I mean, it just gets passed down in the family. My family is very, very young on both sides. So, as I was saying, the system that started the, you know, deconstruction of us was eliminating the Black man from the household, breaking the Black man. If you could break the Black man, you could break the Black family. And if you could break the Black family, you could stop or successfully prevent the uprising of Blacks. Now, how do you break the Black man? How do you get the Black man to abandon his family? Here. During slavery, you know, slaves would be very fond of each other, female and woman slaves, and, you know, they would form relationships and have kids. One way to stop the slaves from starting a revolt, or, you know, to stop hope from happening, is they'd have the father slaves rape the sons. They'd have the sons rape the fathers. They would rape the father slaves and have the sons watch. They'd rape the sons, have the fathers watch. Now, it may seem like nothing, you know, it may seem like, well, it's just an act of torture, but you have to understand what that act of torture institutionalizes. You have to understand what that may do to a child watching that happen to his father. It's demeaning, you know. You have to understand how a man may feel having that happen to him, even though he is already in slavery and in captivity. You have to understand that is dehumanizing. I mean, slavery was dehumanizing itself, don't get me wrong, but having that happen to you in slavery, not only are you picking cotton, but you're being raped in front of your family. How do you think that's gonna make you feel? What precedent do you think that sets for the family? I mean, they know you can't do anything, but they don't want to see that happen. Your wife doesn't want to see that happen to you. Your kids don't want to see that happen to you. And it's just hard to respect the fact that that happened to you, you know. And that will change a man. That will change a man for the better. If a man knows that his family knows that this happened to him, you think he's going to want to be around his family anymore? No. He's going to be embarrassed. He's going to be ashamed. And although he can't control it, he's going to feel some type of way about it. And that's just one way. Now we move into more modern times. We go 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, 80s. let's just call these the unwritten Jim Crow laws. This is what I was taught they were. I don't know about you guys. I mean, there's a whole book on this, but it's really hard to find because it contains very, very harsh information. Basically, the unwritten Jim Crow laws is how to, you know, disband black families and destroy the black community. Like I've stated before, taking away the main pillar, the black man. One way they did that was they would convict black men of false crimes and put them in jail. They would rape black women. They would have white women go to white men. Black men. So that black men weren't falling for black women and they weren't producing black babies. You know, a black man and a white woman at that time is kind of, it was basically a crime. So, jail, you know. They would take black men, beat them, take black men, kill them. And these are family members. These are head of household black men. You know, I don't want to say overseer, the power of the household, the staple of the household. So when you do this, it breaks the household. You may not understand the effects of that, but I'm going to explain it to you. You take a black man out of his household, his family that he dominates, that he has the power over. Now, the kids have no inspiration. Let's just say the sons have no father figure. They grow up without no father. They don't know how to treat women now. They don't know how to be men. They have to learn it from something foreign. That's why you see a lot of kids in gangs. I mean, think about it. A lot of kids that are in gangs do not have either parent. And most of the time it is a father. So just something to think about. Also, it creates instability in the black community. You know, we thrived off of our relationships with our, what we call queens. You know, our black queens. You know, the black male and female bond was so strong and so interdependent that we thrived off of it. We were good. It was our civilization, and that's just how we were as people. Now, when I said the black woman submitted, that was a choice that some made. Now, yes, some black women were independent. I mean, you could choose to be independent, and no, you didn't have to submit forever. If the father of the household or the male of the household didn't hold up his part, you could easily just break off. You know, you could become an independent woman in the black community. That was never looked badly upon. Sorry if you heard my dog bark. I'm not sure if you could. But apart from that, when you take away these bonds, so now these black women are out black men and they become more and more independent and they want to become more and more independent, it makes it harder for a black man to find a black woman. Because there's a standard. And that black man is humiliated and has been through things, he doesn't think that he meets that standard, neither does the woman. So now we're not thriving in relationships. And now there are single black mothers with fathers that are leaving. Now there are single black fathers with mothers that are leaving. And it kind of just destroys the entire community. And let's not talk about how they flooded the community with drugs. We can talk about California, we can talk about New York. I mean, I'm from New York, so let's just talk about New York. The immigrants hated us, and they still do. I mean, you think about Italians. Italians hate black people for a reason. I mean, I understand it. I obviously don't agree with it, but I understand it. I mean, if you go back in time and you look at the things that happened, shit, as we were getting our freedom, and, you know, I mean, we had our freedom, but as they were coming in from being immigrants, we were moving up north. So it was a competition for jobs. Now, there was no problem with that, because you'd have to compete for jobs with whoever, you know? But then gentrification happened. If you don't know what gentrification is, it's basically, how do I explain it? Raising the pricing of houses in neighborhoods so that the people that live there can't afford it, and basically evicting them. And you had these communities that were Italian and now black. And what they did is, they gave the Italians, you know, because they were white. They weren't minority. They weren't black. They didn't have brown skin. Brown skin, so they could fit in. They could easily fit in, you know. So they were the police officers. They were the controllers of the area. And obviously, blacks aren't just going to conform with that. Cause it's like, hey, we live here too. Like, you fresh off the boat. We've been here. why should you have authority over me, you know? And what these police that were Italians did was basically flood the black communities with drugs. I mean, crack. Shit. That's really crack. Like, we didn't just adopt crack from nowhere. We didn't just get it from nowhere. It came from somewhere, bro. We didn't just, hey, oh, oh. We didn't sit in our kitchens and, oh, I'm going to think of crack and create the... No, like, it was given to us. And that started a lot of, you know, gang things, tensions, I may say. And just a brief recap on this. I should have stated this in the second podcast, but just to let people that don't know, that are illy informed, a lot of gangs that weren't started to sell drugs or to make money. Most gangs that were started, especially back in that day, were to fend off of KKK members. It was a lot of black males in a group to fend off of KKK members. So, you know, we have these gangs, they have their gangs, they're giving us drugs, you know, our gangs are seeing this, they're seeing what it's doing in the community, and they're not necessarily with it, but they can't do anything against it because of the color of their skin, and when they speak out about it, arresting, the Italians arrest us, they come into our communities and arrest us, so we don't want them in our communities. They already, basically, were the ones that took our spots due to gentrification. Now, they're flooding our communities with drugs, so it becomes an imbalance I don't want to say imbalance. I want to say it just becomes a problem. There's a conflict now. And that then spreads on to the motherland of the Italians, Italy. Because these immigrants are reporting back, you know, sending messages via mail. And they're saying that they're speaking badly about us. That's why nowadays, if you go to Italy, there's racism in Italy. There's racism in Italy. Italians do not like black people. And I mean, that's just how it is. Sadly. And that's crazy what the government of America can do. It's so crazy on how they hold us back. And I would say it's systemic, but I mean, it definitely is systemic, but I wouldn't call it oppression or racism. I would call it deconstruction. It's 100% deconstruction. And I don't think people realize that there's a difference between being oppressed and being deconstructed. There's a difference between being held back and being completely destroyed. There is a big difference. Now, we can talk about California now. I don't know if you've ever seen the show Snowfall. It's a very interesting show, and I do recommend that you watch it. I think it came on FX. Very, very good show. Now it is fiction, but it is realistic fiction. There's so much realism depicted in that show, and they'll show you. It goes through the entire process of how, the federal government flooded the black community with cocaine. Damn, I think it was crack. Nah, it was the crack cocaine, same thing. Yeah, it was really weird to see. I mean, they bribed the young black males with money because, as a community, we think money is prosperity. Although it's not. Many people don't realize that because where we come from and where our values lie and what we see rich white people and think, damn, I want to be like them. I think money is the key, but really it's not. It's unity, in my opinion. It's unity. So they take these impressionable young black males and they give them these drugs and tell them to sell them. And these black males ain't worried about what it's doing in the community because they can't see that. They only see it as a way out. They only see it as prosperity. They don't see how they're affecting their people, which is the craziest thing. It's like a con thing. Now, if a white man was to come up to you in a black community and say, you want to buy some coke? You ain't buying that shit. But if a white man gets a black man to do it, you sure as hell gonna buy it. You sure as hell gonna trust a black man in the black community over the white man. And that was really, it was really smart what they did. Now, bad thing, terrible thing, but very, very smart. And I do have to give, you know, credit for it to do it. That was smart. It was really smart. And beyond the drugs, it just goes to show, like, how much the government really has oppressed us. And I don't even want to say oppressed. That's not even the word for it. How much the government really has destroyed us. And people don't understand that. People will never understand that until you explain it to them a million times. That we are not being oppressed. We are being destroyed. We have been being destroyed as people. Another way, and this is a personal reflection of mine, story behind this. I'm not even going to start the story yet. My fault, I have to explain the way. I'm getting stuck a little bit. Excuse me on that one. They give certain blacks things and put them in higher positions than other blacks. And what this does is it creates animosity. Because the lower class blacks are looking at them like, damn, you really got this and you ain't even looking at me. You ain't even worried about me. We supposed to make it out together and you made it out and you ain't looking at me. So now these blacks that are in positions of power and not even positions of power, just that have wealth, that obtained wealth, are looked at a little bit differently. And there's animosity between them. It's like the Sneetches. They're all the same, but that star, it means something. You know what I'm saying? Now, in actuality, it doesn't mean anything because the white man still looks at any black person saying, you are still a nigger at the end of the day. No matter where you come from, as long as the color of your skin is black, you are a nigger. But we don't see it that way. We see it as, damn, he has more than me, and I want that. Damn. Now, where this personal story comes into play is I had a friend, I've been friends with this kid for years, and it's really crazy how I hated him. I hated this nigga. And it wasn't because of anything he did. It wasn't because of anything he could control. It was literally because of the situation he was raised in. I'm sorry if you can hear my neighbor's car. He just started it. I hope that nigga drives off soon. My bad. I'll probably edit this out, but I may not. Because I don't feel like finding it in the video. Anyway, I hated this nigga. And it wasn't because of anything that he did. It wasn't because of anything that he could control. It was literally because of the position that he was in compared to the position that I was in. I see this nigga carry himself in the best manner with all these things, and I didn't have shit. At the time, I didn't have shit, bro. And it made me feel some type of way because I thought he was putting his nose up at me. I thought he was looking down on me like I was some peasant because he was gifted more than me, because he was more privileged than me. And in reality, it wasn't even like that. He carried himself how he was taught to carry himself based on what he had. It wasn't like he was doing it on purpose. That's just who he was. And he didn't know. He didn't know. But I didn't understand that at the time, you know. It took me a lot of realization with that. So you know what I did? You know what I called this nigga? I called him a white nigga. I said he was whitewashed. He was not black. He was not in tune with the blacks. And my black friends did agree. You know what I'm saying? But that's because we didn't know. Now, I realize now that this kid is no different than me. We are both the same black. Black is black. You know what I'm saying? No matter how privileged you are, black is black. But that's a systemic systemic destruction part of it. We don't even realize that we're destroying our own people. We hating our own people because of precedents that they set up. Precedents that they set up. It's supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to feel that way for him. That's why they put him, or that's why he's in that position. That's why he's able to be privileged like that. You privilege some of them, and then you have some of them lower. So it's just the envy, the animosity builds, because now we're not as unified, so we can't fight, you know. And it's really crazy when you really think about it. You really have to sit here and think about it. You really, really do. Another thing I want to talk about is people calling the black community homophobic, but not understanding. No, I wouldn't say the black community is homophobic. Especially when said that, because a lot of people who do say that have not been in the black community and don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I know a lot of black people that are gay in the black community or from the black community, and they may not have been as accepted as they should have been, but once you come out as gay, you're accepted. It's not like niggas hate you. It's not like that. I feel like the black community may not understand homosexuality, but it doesn't make them homophobic. Now, naturally, even if they were homophobic, we still have reason to explain that and to justify our actions. I mean, this comes back to the slaves raping their masters. That's what I always associated with homosexuality as a kid, was just a nigga getting fucked in his ass. I didn't know it was a boy liking boy. I just thought it meant you'd like to get fucked in your ass. And that's that. And that's what these slaves did. So Or that's what the masters did to the slaves and had the slaves do to the other slaves. So when we see it as that, it's like, no, we can't stand for that. Another thing, how the black king is supposed to have a black queen, the black king is supposed to have no black king. That's not how our community works. Even if you go back to Africa now, that state is still looked at as a shame because that's not how it works. It's just not. And you can't deny a person's personality. You can't tell them that they're not this, they're not that. But the black community has strict rules and things that are okay and not okay. Now, does it make us all homophobic? Most definitely not. Does it make the entire community homophobic? Most definitely not. But we have ways that we do things, and so do the whites in America. Now, homosexuality isn't even accepted by all the whites in America, but it is accepted by a large, I don't even want to say majority, a good number of them. The black community is not the same. When you're oppressed and homosexual tactics are used to oppress you or destroy you, it's going to make you a little bit, a little bit in denial, not denial, a little bit, let's just say a little bit against homosexuality. It's going to. It is most definitely going to, you know? And it's crazy, but that's how it is. We didn't ask to be like this for our community. We didn't ask to be like this, but this is how y'all shaped us. This is how the white man shaped us. This is the cards we was dealt, and we just playing with them. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think we should be labeled as a homophobic community or a community that's not accepting because of the values that you instilled on us. I just don't think that should be it. You know, I know a lot of black men, a lot of black females who just don't fucking care. You know what I'm saying? But now, if you go to the Christian community, they instill Christian values, which also instilled us the idea of anti-homosexuality. That started with y'all. That whole Christian shit started with y'all. I'm saying y'all as if I'm addressing an all-white audience. That started with the white man, bro. That whole Christianity shit, that started with the white man and was forced upon the slaves. Forced. And yes, it was redirected and changed throughout time, but we still adopted it. That was our faith. That was our belief. That was what kept us going, stopped us from killing ourselves. So that's something we believed in. And if no homosexuality was mentioned in that, of course you're not going to be homosexual. Or of course you're going to be against homosexuality. There's reasons for it. It wasn't just, it's not natural, bro. So to end this cycle, you have to explain that to niggas. You have to go into these communities and explain that. Not just label them as anti-homosexual or homophobic and then say that's that. I don't want to associate with that, because that is fucked up. We didn't choose to be that. We didn't choose to be like that. We didn't choose that label for ourselves. We never get a choice. We never fucking do. And I'm tired of that. I am tired of it. Like, I'm passionate about what I'm saying, and I know what I'm talking about, but y'all gotta know what I'm talking about. Y'all gotta understand it. And I really wish y'all would spread this so that people knew, or people know, that there's reasons for everything. There are reasons for everything. Another thing, let's speak about the black woman in the black community and how a lot of people in a lot of different communities just disrespect the black woman. Now, the black woman wasn't always disrespected by the black man, but it tended to happen, you know, watching black women get raped. Yeah, you want to have sympathy, but it's kind of hard to have sympathy for something that's happening so fucking often. Like, I'm talking about slave times, when black women would just be raped, you know. And now, once you get into modern times, when the unspoken Jim Crow laws were about, and you see all these black men getting beat, and you see all these lonely black women because their husbands or their boyfriends or the father of their kids are in jail, and now they have to do something else, such as stripping, shit, prostitution, fucking jumping from man to man, trying to feed their kids. It creates the idea that they're selfless and they are lost and they're creatures and they need to be, they can be used. But that's just not the idea. They didn't choose those cards and they do not deserve the disrespect that comes with it. I mean, it's just a fucked up lifestyle, but there's reasons to everything. There are reasons to everything. And I don't want to blame the white man for everything. The black man should take some responsibility for some of our actions. But a lot of our actions are based on what the white man has instilled on us. And people do not understand that. People do not understand that. And that shit pisses me off. That shit pisses me off, man. It's just crazy. It really is just crazy. And it's very depressing when you think about it. It's very, very, very crazy when you think about beating the system that's been instilled on us for years. And I'm not talking about oppression. I'm talking about deconstruction. Deconstruction. I'd really want to let y'all know, and y'all probably already know this, both of our fucking presidents helped with that shit. Joe Biden's stupid crime laws and Kamala Harris, and I don't even know what it was that she, just not letting the niggas out of jail, just not fucking approving the niggas out of jail, bruh. Because that's what they were taught to do, you know? That's what they were taught to do, and that's how this country is. This country thrives off the weakness of others. And it's not even like we're weak as a community. We're just disoriented, where we just don't know what to do. You know, we're not put on the path of light and success. We're not taught that from birth, because a lot of us don't know. A lot of our predecessors don't know. Our parents don't know. Our grandparents didn't know because they're blinded. You know, when you lack information, it's hard to be on the right path. It's hard to do all that. So it's just crazy. And so I don't blame Kamala Harris for coming here and establishing power how she did and being against blacks. I don't blame her. I really don't. I can see why she did that. I mean, people will do a lot for power, even tear down their own people. That's not something humans can control. Greed is something you can't control as a human. But I will say that if we want to change this as a community, we need to unite. We need to teach. We need to instill values that the black community knows and that cannot be manipulated. We're going to go through a lot of trials and revelations or tribulations, whatever. I don't even know the word, fuck. But let's just say trials that are going to test us. We have to stay strong. We have to stay together. And that's just my take on it. That's my entire opinion. You know, this definitely isn't over. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely not over. Oh shit. I'm 27 minutes in. I just thought of another way. I should have wrote things down. I don't. I'm sorry. And I'm probably not. I like to just spit off the top of my head. Another way that the black community is just destroyed, you know. Take as a recent event, Harry Styles wearing a fucking dress. Now, Jaden Smith wears dress. Lil Nas is literally fucking gay. You have a lot of black influencers that wear dresses. Young Thug wore a dress. You know what? He got fucking clowned for it. And they blame that on the black community. They said the black community didn't accept it. You know why we don't accept that shit? Because when it's brought into the broad light, and we are brought into the limelight, the whites give their opinions, and we have to follow. We have to follow. We have to accept what y'all want. You know what I'm saying? It's not about what we want. It's not about what we think as a community. You're gonna label us as a bad community anyway. You're gonna label us as negative thoughts anyway. It's not about what we think. So now that Harry Styles is wearing a dress and he's getting praised for it, now it's okay to wear dresses, right? Right. It's the white community, man. And I mean, y'all are fucked up. And I'm the next episode is definitely going to go more deeper into that subject. I really want to leave you on a cliffhanger on this one, and I think I'm going to do that. And on that thought, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I should be dropping another one tomorrow, depending on what I'm doing. Hope you guys have a wonderful night. I love the support. I thank y'all for all of it. I love y'all. And goodbye.